is Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. Fiona Mosley's first novel, Elmet, was shortlisted for the prestigious Man Booker Prize last year. She is one of the youngest authors to be so honored. It's the story of a father and his two teenage children who live out in the margins of society in a house they built themselves, and it's steeped in the literature and legends of the Yorkshire countryside. The book review in the New York Times described it a lyrical and mythic work. Elmet is published by Algonquin Books. Fiona Mosley, welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
That's pretty incredible. Your first novel.
Yeah.
And you get this big recognition. When you started writing Elmet.
Yeah.
Is this what you had in mind? This kind of did you think this kind of reaction was even in the offing?
No, I mean, if I'd have that in mind, I might be running for president of the United States, I guess. if I had that kind of confidence. No, I certainly didn't. I've always been so bad at finishing projects. I've always started things and stopped them. So really, for me, the big deal was just getting to the end of this book and mm-hmm. saying, do you know what? That's done. What an achievement. And then, you know, after that, I got the publishing contract, and that was a huge deal. And then, you know, the Man Booker Prize shortlisting was just out of this world.
So let's go to the beginning. How did you first get the idea to write this book, this particular book?
Yeah, I guess I had an idea for some characters. I wanted to kind of explore the relationships between the three members of this family, who are all very physically different and kind of different in temperament, but are kind of united by this love and have this desperate desire to understand one another. I'm quite interested in, you know, the interactions between people who are different, who are trying to kind of get inside each other's heads. So there's this father who's this really huge, larger-than-life character.
Like, literally huge.
Yeah, he's literally huge. He's, like, you know, something from mythology. He's not a kind of real guy that you'd encounter on the street. And, you know, he's a bare-knuckle boxer. He's all about his physical presence. And then he's got this daughter who's kind of just as fierce as him, but she obviously doesn't have his physicality. She's, you know, she's a woman. And then there's Daniel, his son, who's kind of, I guess you'd say, gender fluid. He's, although he doesn't kind of have that language to articulate ideas like that, you know, he's using his own vocabulary to explore those issues that teenagers explore, I suppose. So I wanted to situate all these characters together and see what would happen.
Is this set in, now that you're saying that Daniel is gender fluid, but he doesn't have that language, is it set present day?
It is set present day, but I mean, the people in the book, they're on the margins of society. They're not the kinds of people who would, you know, have access to a university education or anything like that. So it is present day, but they're kind of using their own kind of words to describe these things. Mm-hmm.
And you, as I've said in the introduction, and you just said, they're living on the margins of society to the point, not only did they build their own house, they hunt their own food?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that kind of thing is, you know, more common in the States. I mean, not in New York, of course, but but in other...
Maybe upstate
New York. Yeah, in other places. But, you know, in the UK, the population is, you know, like, so big, and it's such a small island that it's very difficult to be off-grid in the same way. But they sort of manage it by being kind of unseen in the middle of the countryside. So the father is really trying to defend his children from the kind of evils of the world, and he's obsessed with this kind of... this idea that only he can protect them, mm-hmm. you know, and of course it's kind of idyllic for a while, but it ultimately, you know, that idyll is tested. It's tested.
Yes, and I want to talk about Mr. Price
in a
moment. But back to the father is literally larger than life.
Yeah.
And then he has a teenage son mm-hmm. who is gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get on?
Yeah, they get on super well, basically because they love each other, and it is one of those situations where love can, you know, sort of
let it conquer all.
Conquer all, you know. The father finds it very difficult to understand his son. You know, he doesn't understand how a boy like that could ever survive in the world, and you know he's terrified about what's going to happen to him, and he's so different from him, but he loves him. So that's That's the main thing. That's always the main thing, I think, in those sorts of situations. And then, you know, Daniel, the boy, just adores his father. You know, again, there's huge difference there, but it's about kind of the way that they reconcile those differences.
Mm-hmm. And so Daniel's sister,
mm-hmm.
and let's talk about her. She was having problems in school.
Yeah. Yeah. She's found it sort of difficult to fit in. You know, her trouble is that she takes after her father. You know, she's a fighter, but she's also a girl. So, you know, what does she do? And she has some issues with some boys at the school who are not treating her so well. And her response to that is to, you know, fight them off. But then, you know, she's the one who gets blamed because it's seen as so transgressive that a girl would, like, beat up these three boys.
She would stand up for herself.
Exactly. It's seen as just so incredibly outrageous. And Daddy, the father of the piece, he's like, well, why shouldn't she stand up for herself? He's totally on her side. And so he takes her out of school and he takes them elsewhere so that she can just, you know, be herself and do what she wants.
And so that was the precipitating event.
Mm-hmm. It's time for us to go. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm speaking with Fiona Moseley about her first novel. It's called Elmet, and it's from Algonquin Books, and it was shortlisted for the prestigious Man Booker Prize. So we've talked about Danny, we've talked about John, the father, we've talked mm-hmm. about Kathy, mm-hmm. the sister. We don't know much about Mom.
Yeah.
Where is she?
She's mentioned, but she's kind of distant. You know, there are all of these, all sorts of kind of women sort of existing on the peripheries of this book in a way, kind of like sort of ghosts almost. We don't know what's happened to her, and that's one of the mysteries. And, you know, Kathy, the daughter, is really haunted by all these sort of stories she hears about awful things happening to women, you know. For some reason, our culture is really obsessed with kind of young, beautiful women being horribly murdered. And, you know, there are whole TV channels devoted to that kind of thing.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
Lifetime.
Whether it's like true crime or mystery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's such a weird fetishization almost. And so Kathy gets fixated with this, and we don't know what's happened to all these women. And the mother kind of stands in for that kind of issue, I guess, you know, it's like what's happened to her.
Mm-hmm. I've mentioned him, so we got to talk about him. Mr. Price.
Yeah.
So who is Mr. Price, and why do he and John get into it?
Yeah, so Mr. Price is the local landowner. And I mean, the main drama in this book comes from this dispute over a piece of land, which, you know, seems like quite a sort of a bland, dry thing. But I think it's one of those issues which has caused so much tension in history and so much tension in literature. You know, all sorts of sort of books take this as their cue. And he owns this land, and he has kind of tenants that are sort of living on it, and it's this almost kind of feudal medieval kind of mm-hmm. setup, where he's running it as his local fiefdom or local manor, and you know, John, the character who's sort of his children refer to as Daddy, he builds this house on land that he doesn't own, that's owned by Mr. Price, or Mr. Price thinks that he owns it. And John kind of claims this moral right to it because it's not being used by anyone. So therefore, what's the big deal if he builds a house there? Like, it's, you know, what's the big deal? And the big deal is, of course, that it sets a precedent. You know, it sets a kind of example to the rest of the community, and the rest of the community kind of get involved, and they take the side of the family. So yeah, Mr. Price is the villain of the mm-hmm. piece.
And John, the father, mm-hmm. Is actively mm-hmm. involved. Excuse me, in organizing.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, he is. And it's kind of, it has echoes of the kind of, you know, sort of organized collective labor action of the 1980s. You know, it's got echoes of the miners' strikes, which are a big deal in that particular region of England. So yeah, there's kind of sort of issues of the past coming back to haunt the present, mm-hmm. both in terms of characters and situations, but also in the kind of ways that we respond to the present. You know, people are trying to replicate the way that they would have politically organized in the 80s, and it's not necessarily working in the current day for various reasons.
So this is set in Yorkshire.
Am
I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, Yorkshire.
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 Yeah.
that's how I local would say it. Yeah.
Yorkshire.
Yeah.
So it's set in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
What kind of work is available for people there? How closely does Elmet hew to the real life of Yorkshire?
Yeah, I mean, it's a varied place, and there's a huge amount of affluence, but a huge amount of poverty. The particular region in which Elmet is set is an old industrial area. So, like various parts of the United States, it used to have coal mines, it used to have factories, it used to have woolen mills, and manufacturing has really deteriorated. So it's kind of one of those places where there isn't as much work as there used to be. People aren't able to take pride in their work in the same way, and communities are suffering. It does kind of reflect the present environment, and it's close to where I grew up. So I was kind of writing, I mean, not from personal experience, because I'm not a bare knuckle boxer and I don't live in the woods, but but I'm writing what I see. I'm writing about this community that's suffering. That's not quite kind of kept up with the modern world through no fault of its own, through external forces.
It's interesting you say that you're writing about, you're from there, but you're not a boxer.
And yeah.
So how did you acquaint yourself with those things where you were able to write about them?
Yeah, I watched a lot of YouTube videos. So now I get all sorts of really, really dodgy ads on my Facebook,
because
of my... So that's a problem. I read some books, I really don't like boxing, the kind of boxing as a sport, I don't care for it. I think it's kind of... it's well, a bit too violent, but
it, and yet
I've written about it.
You've written about it, and you've gave, and that's a big part of John's.
It is,
psyche, personality.
I guess he needed to be this real, real tough guy, and also, so much of the book is about bodies and the way that bodies are used by other people, whether it's kind of to do with sex or whether it's to do with kind of hard labor, working out in the field, or whether it's to do with things like sport, like boxing, or American football is a good example. It really takes its toll on the human body. So I wanted to explore that, and I needed to give him a very physical occupation because of that, because it was one of the main themes.
Is it true you wrote the opening chapter of Elmet on your phone?
there's an element of truth in that. I don't know. My publicist in the UK did a really, really good job of kind of putting that story out there, because it's kind of a cool story. It's the kind of the true millennial writes a novel on an iPhone. Like I'm going to write my next one on an avocado skin or something. I wrote bits of it on my phone, when I had like ideas and I didn't have anything else to hand but my phone. I did write it then, but I did start the first chapter on a train. I was getting the train from York, my hometown, Little York, the one that New York was named after. I was getting a train from there down to London, where I was living and working at the time, so I started it on a train. But then subsequently wrote most of it on my laptop, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I've started many an opinion piece on the phone.
Oh, great.
So it was not a strange thing. But here's what I did find, not strange, but interesting. You kept this secret from your friends and family. Why?
Yeah, for the most part I did. I don't know. I mean, a lot of writers really love kind of like talking to other people about their writing, and they get a lot of inspiration that way. But me, I just get embarrassed. I'm quite a shy person, quite a private person. And I guess I just didn't want to set myself up for a fall. I didn't know I was going to finish it. I didn't know it'd be any good. I didn't know if anything good would ever come of it. And I guess I just didn't want to be embarrassed, I suppose. And then it all went really, really well. So,
you showed them.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been amazing. Fiona Moseley, we've been talking about her new novel, her first novel, Elmet, a finalist for the Man Booker Prize. Tonight at 7, you can catch her at McNally Jackson for a reading and a discussion. Fiona, thank you for being here. Congratulations.
Thank you.